leave a comment, or like us on Facebook at WGOX 94.5.
Put the wraps on another week and get ready for some NFL this weekend and Army-Navy. Last regular season college football game of the year. Sad as that might be. LT, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. So this will be back-to-back years I've actually gone to weddings during the Army-Navy game.
Right. You know, the Army-Navy game is one of those games that I like in principle, right? I mean, a lot of people will make it out to be the best rivalry in sports. I think sometimes you're letting – I don't mean to be judgmental of people, but I think Rockstar's already laughing.
No, we had a former host that, yeah. I mean, you could argue, you know, for hours upon hours, and he just would not give up the fact that Army-Navy is the greatest rivalry in all of sports.
Yeah, I don't really view it that way. I am incredibly appreciative of the sacrifice those guys are going to make. Doesn't mean that it's going to be a great football game, but it's fun to watch. But what I was going to say is, I like the Army-Navy game. I've always wanted to go to the Army-Navy game. I'm very jealous of our colleagues at Three Man Front who are in Philadelphia today doing their show and going to the game.
How did I not know that?
Huh?
How did I not know that?
I don't know. I guess you don't pay attention.
Did you know that, Rocky?
I knew that.
Okay.
So I am very jealous of them, and I would love to do that one day. I'd love to go to that game. But you know what that game is? That's a game that I say I'm going to watch every year, and there is always something that Saturday.
See, I watch it every year. I watch the first three quarters, and then I think the wedding was at 4 o'clock. Now, I do think the wedding this year actually coincides with kick, right?
Yes, it does. I never get to sit down and watch the 3.5 hours of that game, ever, ever, ever. I cannot remember a time I've just stopped and watched the Army-Navy game.
It's supposed to snow.
Well, it won't be tomorrow.
No, it will not be tomorrow. No, I've pretty much given up. I'm not going to watch it. Wait, it's in Philadelphia. I'll check the Philadelphia weather.
I'm going to say Philadelphia, it is 40 and it will be raining, but not quite cold enough for snow.
Tomorrow, let's see. I mean, it gets up to 57 tomorrow. Wow, it's actually going to be a nice day. I got a little rain in the forecast. Only a 99% chance of rain.
Oh, good.
What time is kick?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock? Yeah, it's up to 100% at 2 o'clock.
Kind of a disappointing year for Todd Monken and Army.
Well, that was the team that started the year actually in the top 25, right?
They did, and, you know, they beat Rice, and it was a tight game. They win that game 14-7, and then they go to Ann Arbor, and they had every opportunity to beat, you know, a top 10 Michigan squad, and they lose it 24-21.
Yep, they had that game.
You just wonder what happens if they win that game.
In both cases, for Michigan, does that start a spiral they don't pull out of? And for Army, what does it do for their season, right?
Yeah, because Army goes on and they lose 5 one-possession games.
Yeah.
End up going 5-7 this year.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a disappointing year for Army. Army-Navy is tomorrow. Last night, there was some NFL action. At least one team was playing. Baltimore and the Jets, and the Ravens just overwhelmed the Jets. Lamar Jackson was his MVP self, just fantastic. I don't know that he locked down the MVP last night. But he had yet another, and this is three he's had in his career, for a guy that couldn't throw and was going to have to move the wide receiver, he now has three games where he's thrown 5 touchdown passes in his career. Those don't grow on trees in the NFL, Lance, a 5-touchdown passing game.
No, you know, in his 7 starts last year for the Baltimore Ravens, we believed, hey, look, he's just getting this done with his legs. But what he's developed into is a complete quarterback. And right now, this Ravens offense is really difficult to defend. Coming off 42 points last night to the Jets, you know, the ultimate question right now, and I think we threw this out a couple of weeks ago, is if you could have one of these quarterbacks over the next 5 to 10 years, would you take your reigning MVP in Pat Mahomes, or would you take 22-year-old Lamar Jackson?
I thought, did you not throw Russell Wilson, or do you left it open to anybody?
Well, yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson's, you know, into his 30s now.
Yeah.
So if you were just going reigning MVP and more than likely the guy that's going to win the MVP, because based on Russell Wilson in the L.A. Coliseum last week against the Rams, coming off his worst performance, I assume Lamar Jackson's got too much momentum right now. I think he probably wins the MVP.
We were all prisoners of the moment. If you did this poll last year, it would have been like 98%. If we did it right now, Lamar Jackson probably wins the poll, right?
I don't know. I still lean Pat Mahomes. I don't know about you. I still would go Patrick Mahomes. I think the season last year was better. Now, statistically, if you start to match him up, maybe this one is better for Lamar Jackson. To me, Pat Mahomes should have been in the Super Bowl last year. They didn't touch the ball in overtime. They blew multiple leads against the New England Patriots.
Right.
Now, this is a year that Lamar Jackson, maybe they go out and they win a Super Bowl.
I mean, they're as good as anybody in the league, right? I was going to ask you that later. I don't want to spill everything right now, but I was going to ask you, if you go top five, how quickly do you get to the Baltimore Ravens in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, Baltimore's one or two right now.
That's what I was going to say. It's got to be, right? It's them in San Francisco.
Yeah, we might see the blackout game that we saw in New Orleans, what, 7 years ago, the Harbaugh Bowl?
Harbaugh brothers, except only one of them is still standing.
But I think it's a legitimate poll question. I mean, what direction would you go right now? Would you go Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes?
I feel like, again, you're prisoner of the moment. I'm fine with either.
You know, Mahomes misses some time this year with the injury.
He hasn't been the same.
You know, Tyreek Hill was out a little bit. I mean, Mahomes is still completing 65% of his passes, 21 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions.
I mean, I'm coming off a night where Lamar Jackson, I think for the third time in his career, threw 5 touchdown passes and broke Michael Vick's single-season quarterback rushing record. So it's hard not to go Lamar Jackson coming off last night, you know?
Yeah, I would go Pat Mahomes. And if I would have gone back to 2017 when the Chiefs took him with the 10th pick in the first round, I would have said Lamar Jackson ultimately will be a better quarterback. But based on what I saw last year and still seeing this year, I'm still going Pat Mahomes.
He is the perfect example of why predicting quarterbacks in the NFL is a completely inexact science. Like, I think Tua Tagovailoa, if he can be 100% healthy, will be a tremendous professional quarterback because he's so accurate. I think Trevor Lawrence makes pro throws all the time. I think he'll be a tremendous NFL quarterback. Everybody thinks Joe Burrow is going to be the number one pick, so they clearly think he's going to be a really good NFL quarterback. The truth is, you never know.
Yeah, I still don't know on Burrow.
I mean, but you don't know on Trevor Lawrence until Tua Tagovailoa.
You don't.
And because you didn't know on Lamar Jackson.
I thought Pat Mahomes would not be a good quarterback.
Bingo.
I thought Lamar Jackson had a lot of upside. You know, just so young and raw, and the things that he was able to do early on for Bobby Petrino en route to winning a Heisman Trophy, I never saw it at this level, though.
Yeah, and don't worry the fact that you don't know, because NFL franchises don't know. It's a complete guess for them, too.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to when Jared Goff and Carson Wentz go 1-2, and look, both of these guys have been in Super Bowls. Carson Wentz kind of is a guy that was standing on the sideline watching Nick Foles take his team to a Super Bowl. But I still believe, and I think you believe, and most believe, that if Carson Wentz would have stayed healthy 3 years ago, they would have been in the Super
Bowl. Yeah, I mean, I think so, yeah.
And then Jared Goff obviously plays out of his mind last year in a really, really good offensive system, and he gets to a Super Bowl. But the jury's still out on both of those guys going 1-2 overall. By the way, we are going to put that poll question out, and our poll question daily is brought to you by our friends at Cowan Equipment Company, your full-line Volvo construction equipment dealer. Take advantage now with an additional 10% discount on any 500 HR scheduled maintenance now through December 31st. All you got to do is reference the Jocks discount. Go to Cowan.com for more information.
You know what's funny is Arizona is now trying to do what Lamar Jackson is doing with Kyler Murray, right?
But less parts around Kyler Murray.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson's got a better cast around him. They could have had Lamar Jackson. They picked Josh Rosen instead.
Oops.
I know. I mean, that shows you how inexact this is in the NFL. I mean, they're literally trying to do the same exact thing. Let's get a quarterback that's mobile, that stresses the defense that way. He can run. He's difficult to stop in the run game. And he's good enough that he can throw the football in the NFL. I mean, that's what they're doing. Let's incorporate some of the college schemes that made these guys so good in college. Let's bring that to the NFL. And they could have had that, but they decided to go Josh Rosen.
Well, and you imagine if they would have gotten it right and they get Lamar Jackson and then they don't have to go quarterback this year.
Bingo.
And you go
get him a weapon.
You go Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy that will dominate defensively maybe for the next 8 to 10 years.
Like, here are the quarterbacks that went in front of the guy that's about to be the MVP in year two. Baker Mayfield at Cleveland. I mean, do you think Cleveland would trade Baker Mayfield for Lamar Jackson right now?
Wouldn't even think twice about it, yes.
That was the number one pick. Sam Darnold, the Jets, just last night got to see this.
Yeah, and Darnold, multiple turnovers again, not even close. Yes, they would trade 100%.
Buffalo Bills, Wyoming's Josh Allen.
Yep.
Who's been starting for them this year.
Yeah, look, and Josh Allen was playing, to me, really good football going into the game last week against the Ravens, but it looked like old Josh Allen. Hesitation, you know, holding on to the football too long, taking some bad sacks. But, yeah, again, not even close.
Yeah. So pick – and then Josh Rosen I mentioned. So that's picks 1, 3, 7, and 10. Lamar Jackson went 32. It's an inexact science in the NFL. That's why Joe Burrow might be the next Tom Brady, or he might be the next Matt Leinart. He might be on the Fox pregame show in 10 years. I mean, you just don't know. And the NFL franchises don't know. They don't get it right all the time. To me, it's – the most difficult thing to predict in all of sports. I feel like I can tell you A point guard is going to be better in the NBA. Starting pitcher is going to be better in Major League Baseball. Yeah, I mean, any position. I feel like the NFL, Major League Baseball, any of those guys can predict it better than quarterback. I think it's the most unpredictable thing in all of sports.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is where they go.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Lamar
the
Jackson
team
was,
they're on, you mean.
Well, he
yeah.
was set up for success because he goes at the end of the first round to a good franchise.
Yeah. Like, I wonder the teams that didn't even go quarterback, that just drafted in front of them, that are now in a quarterback mess. Like the Bears had just gone quarterback with Trubisky, right?
I can't get a read on Trubisky. I don't think he's going to be
the
answer.
You take Lamar Jackson right now,
Yeah. But the last couple of weeks, Trubisky's playing good football again, and he's got an opportunity as they go to Green Bay this week.
I mean, the Dolphins took Minkah Fitzpatrick, who they've already traded, to start the rebuild.
So you know Lamar Jackson would be there.
Absolutely.
Guy.
Lamar Jackson would be starting right now. Yep. They wouldn't even be in the tank for Tua sweepstakes. The Buccaneers, you draft him and go away from Jameis Winston? Of course you would. The Redskins? My gosh, the Redskins are a quarterback mess. Yeah, Saints probably wouldn't do it. They're still playing Breeze right now. The Raiders, I mean, they look like they're okay. We've talked about the Bills. Chargers are still holding on to Phillip Rivers. The Packers wouldn't do it for Aaron Rodgers. Dallas Cowboys, they're in quarterback purgatory right now. Rockstars Lions, I don't know that, you know, when this draft happened, Matt Stafford didn't have a broken back.
But sooner or later, Detroit's going to have to make a move on a quarterback.
Yeah. Cincinnati? Oh, my gosh, Cincinnati. They take Lamar. I mean, all those teams, just let him go. And now he's an MVP. It's impossible to know. All right, we'll get to your phone calls. Joe Burrow won every award you could win last night.
Which is not too surprising. I mean, look, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy tomorrow, and nobody's going to be surprised at that. But, you know, winning the Maxwell and the Davey O'Briens, he's also your AP Player of the Year. You don't see guys that win AP Player of the Year, Davey O'Brien, Maxwell, and Heisman a lot, though. I think it's been 2008 last time we saw that.
Oh, yeah, so it's pretty uncommon. It's been a decade now?
Yeah, I mean, since the AP Player of the Year was first awarded in 1998, four players have actually won this. Tebow did it in 2007, Cam Newton, obviously, right. In 2010, Marcus Mariota in 2014, and Baker Mayfield. It's a little bit of a surprise to me in 2017.
I mean, so it's pretty uncommon.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's grade based on this year, the Southeastern Conference. How do you want to do this? You just this team was an A, this team was a B. I mean, that's what we're doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's just give an A grade to an F.
All right. Well, I'll just go in order of how they finished in the standings, which will probably be about how we grade them.
Okay.
With Georgia, we'll start in the East. Georgia, B. I mean, played in the SEC championship game, but they're 11-2. Bad loss to South Carolina. Got drilled by LSU in that championship game.
Yeah, I'm going to go B just based on the expectation was a 14 playoff. I mean, you're coming off an 11-win season last year. You know, the thing that, I'm not going to say it's disturbing. It's probably disturbing for Georgia fans. Three consecutive SEC championship games. You win one against Auburn. You're up double digits against Alabama.
Don't close that deal.
And then last year, or this year, you get run off the field.
Yeah. You made this point the other day. It's getting progressively worse in that game for them.
Right. So, you know, so I'll still give them a B because you're, again, at double-digit wins. You're a top-10 team, and you represented the SEC East. But if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm not overly excited about going back to a Sugar Bowl. So I'll go B.
The Florida Gators had not had back-to-back 10-win seasons since Urban Meyer did it. So it's been a couple coaches. Dan Mullen has now done it. We mentioned earlier he's 20-5. It's kind of quiet 20-5.
Yeah, and you know,
but they
did
were 10-2.
Did it with a backup quarterback. I'm going to give him a B too, and yeah. That's probably unfair. I think some people might go B plus here, but it's year two, and elite coaches in year two typically do special things. But 10 wins, you lost to Georgia, so you lose to Georgia in really your biggest game of the year. Can't give you an A. I'm going to go B.
Tennessee is 7-5. They are. I mean, if those two games at the start of the year go differently, if they show up for Georgia State and if they just defend one play against BYU, this is probably an A at 9-3.
Yeah, but you don't. And you start 1-4, and based on that, I'm going to give you a C-plus to B-minus. Really difficult. I want to give you a B-minus, but based on the fact that you lost those two games, games you can't lose, and it looks really good at the end result going 7-5 because you would have taken that.
I think – the way they finished, and Tennessee does this a lot because the schedule after Alabama normally eases up after they play the Alabama game after the third Saturday in October. It's normally a pretty soft landing for them.
Yeah, you tell me what that best win was.
After Alabama or the whole year?
No, the whole year.
There's not a great one.
Right. So I'm going to go C+.
Yeah. Kentucky. This is a hard one. They're at 7-5. We've mentioned it a billion times. They ended up playing a wide receiver at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going B. I'm going B. You lose your starting quarterback. You still win seven games. You have such a predictable offense. You know, even going from 10 wins last year, losing two of the best players in school history in Benny Snell and Josh Allen, there wasn't a ton of expectation to do much better than seven wins. And for Mark Stoops to find seven wins with Lynn Bowden running the offense, I mean, it probably should be better than a B, but I'm going to give you a solid B.
Missouri went 6-6 and fired their coach.
Yeah, I'm going to go D there.
South Carolina went 4-8, and their coach took a pay cut.
I'm going to go D there.
And Vanderbilt went 3-9 and gave their coach one more year.
Yeah, I'm going to give you an F.
Even at Vanderbilt, that's an F.
I think that's an F. You? And you won one conference game. 3-9 is
bad. Yeah, 3-9 is bad, 1-7. Mason had it going better than that. So you've yet to give it out an A. You're about to give one, though, when we get to the West. You can't do anything but give LSU an A+.
An A+.
They
exceeded expectations. Yep. I thought a best-case scenario was 10 wins. I mean, I bet against them. We had a stake that they wouldn't get 10 wins in the regular season.
And aced every test. There was nothing they failed. Yeah, Absolutely nothing they failed.
And they were completely dominant. I mean, the one game or the couple of games they struggled against in-state schools, they still find ways to win those games. And, you know, they're going to have a Heisman Trophy winner. You're probably your coach of the year. He wins that award last night for Ed Orgeron. I mean, they're sitting at 13-0 and the number one seed right now in the college football playoff. You can do nothing but an A+.
I'll come back to Alabama and Auburn. They're the next two in the standings. Texas A&M finished 7-5.
I'm giving them a D.
I think, didn't Vegas have them at seven wins? I mean, they hit those expectations. I think a lot of the media expected more than seven wins.
Yeah, I don't care, man. You're paying a guy $7.5 million. He's going 4-4 in conference, and you lost every game you were supposed to lose. I mean, you got to win one of those games, don't you?
And there was a lot of talk, I think, even Dunaway.
Really difficult schedule. If you would have gone 8-4 and you would have been more competitive in some of those other games, but I'm going D here.
There was a lot of talk because they played Georgia, Clemson, and Alabama that A&M might pick one of those off in the offseason. A lot of people, that was kind of a popular talking point. They'll find a way to win one of those games.
They weren't even close. Lost all by double digits.
Yeah. They were most competitive against Georgia only because Georgia's offense is so bad at that point.
Yeah,
that
it kept I take them in that the back. They did keep that within a possession. Was it 19-13?
Something like that. You never felt like A&M was going to win it, though, if you watched the game. Mississippi State 6-6.
I mean, I'm going to go C-.
I don't even know if it's not a D, Lance.
It could be a D. You know, but what was the expectation for Mississippi State this year?
I guess 7-5, so they missed it by a game.
You know, I'll say this. Just because it was such an ugly 6-6, I probably would agree, and I'll give you that D. I mean, because you look at the wins. You shouldn't have beaten Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss gave you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an overtime.
And it almost would have been an F, because outside of that, you got an Alcorn State win. You've got an Arkansas win, who everyone beat. I mean, Kentucky, if they played that game right now, I don't think Mississippi State wins that game. They beat Southern Miss and Lafayette. I don't know if they beat Lafayette right now.
Lafayette's probably their best win, isn't it?
Kentucky, probably.
Ole Miss went 4-8 and fired their coach.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go
D?
F? D or F. Again, I don't know what the expectation was, so based on that, I'll go D minus.
Arkansas went 2-10 and fired their coach.
An F. You don't win a conference game for back-to-back years. It's got to be an F.
That's an F. All right, so Alabama and Auburn, what do you do with them?
Alabama, to me, was a C+, based on expectation.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, you lose two games, and it might not be fair based on this. You lost your starting quarterback.
That is a contributing factor, but you had a two-game schedule, and you lost both of them.
Yep.
Close losses in both, but you lost both.
So I'm going to go C+ for Alabama.
Yeah, and then Auburn at 9-3.
I'll give Auburn a B.
That exceeded expectations, yeah, I think, for a lot of people.
I did. You did it with a true freshman quarterback. You were in every game. Yeah, I'll give him a B.
Finished with a win over Alabama. I mean, you finished on a high note. Yeah. I think those are fair. Michael is on the county line. He is next with us on the Jacks Roundtable. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, you
guys.
Too.
I love this conversation y'all are having, recapping and grading the season of everybody that, you know, in the SEC. One thing that I'll have to kind of disagree with Lance on a little bit, and I think you were kind of alluding to it a little bit too, Ryan, is Georgia maybe being, I mean, obviously the SEC championship has gotten worse for them, yes. But I don't think that's any way indicative of the direction of the program or their coaching staff. I actually feel like that they, I know this is going to sound crazy because I know a lot of people put expectations on them that maybe they didn't deserve, but I thought that they overachieved a little bit because, Yes, they had the offensive line and the returning quarterback, but they lost so much on defense and the wide receiving core. I actually thought Florida was the best team in the East, and maybe just didn't know how to win that Georgia game yet. And they were more diverse on offense. Now, yes, I know Florida wouldn't have been the Florida that they are if their starting quarterback earlier in the year when they got hurt. I believe that they may have ended up 8-4 with that quarterback. But the guy that's in there now, I believe, really runs their offense well. Another one that I would kind of like chime in on is Mississippi State. Moorhead, I don't know that he says he's there to stay. They're going to have to pull him out of there. It's kind of like a Tuberville Pine Box comment, but he's just not the coach for that program at all. I mean, they're really going downhill with him. And if I were them, I would just get rid of him before they end up having the 3-8 year or 3-9 year.
Oh, that's coming. Square peg, round hole. And Joe Moorhead is a nice guy that we've had an opportunity to meet multiple times. He's a very accessible guy. It's just a weird fit.
Yeah. And a lot of people thought it was a weird fit from the beginning. They were worried about recruiting. He did okay on that. But it's just, it feels like that program has regressed. I mean, it doesn't feel like that program has regressed under him. It has regressed under him.
But, you know, we should have expected this. Dan Mullen is the greatest coach in that school's history. And when he leaves, I mean,
without
really.
Question.
Yeah, what should have been the expectation? Now, I do think that they underachieved last year with arguably the best defense in college football, losing 5 games. That was the big problem.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised they're 6-6 this year.
Yeah, last year was a bigger indictment on him than this year was.
I agree 100% with that because that defense was nasty last year. They tore Tua up the whole game. They were in our backfield exploding up on everybody. And the quarterback he had, he really didn't throw the ball that well. But you give Dan Mullen that quarterback, he finds a way to win 10 or 11 games at least. So I always appreciate talking with you guys.
Yeah, I say
you too.
Tell me if you agree with this. In Tua's 2 years as the starting quarterback, the second-best defense behind Clemson in the national championship last year was Mississippi State last year.
I mean, they were number one in the nation. Yeah, State's defense was number one in the nation.
Better than any defense he faced this year.
3 first-round picks on it, right?
Now, before Auburn fans start to tweet at me.
No, I think Auburn fans would agree with you. It was a better defense, yeah,
well,
overall.
I was going to say, Tua didn't play, obviously, against Auburn this year.
Yeah, but I think that State defense last year was better than Auburn's defense this year.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I mean, I think they were.
Well, I mean, it's comparable.
It was number one in the country.
It was
number one in the country. I mean, so Auburn's defense this year is not number one in the country.
But statistically, it was number one in the country, but I think Clemson's defense was better last year.
Clemson's was better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe so.
I'm just saying that, you know, the second best defense Tua saw in his career at Alabama was Mississippi State's last year, and that team went 8-5.
Yeah.
And you're an offensive guy. You've got to find enough offense to complement the best defense in college football to find a way to win 10 games. You have to.
Each day, we give you a 4 Downs, and it's presented by our friends at Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
4 great locations for you. Gordondale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. Hunting season is here. The guys at Vulcan do tires for ATVs and trailers. Get set up this fall season at one of those great locations, or go online. Go to VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
First down.
So we had Bruce Pearl on the show yesterday. If I asked you what happens first, Gus Malzahn gets Auburn back to an SEC championship game or Bruce gets back to an Elite Eight?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Final Four. That was going to make this really, really easy. Yeah. I think I'll go – this Auburn team's really good.
I agree. I think this Auburn team is definitely going to be in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You win a couple of games.
I mean,
you get to a Sweet 16 and you're a game away.
I said my expectation for them was a Sweet 16 team. That's my expectation for them to get in the Sweet 16. They look like that right now.
Yep, I agree.
Of course, at this point last year, they didn't look at all like a Final Four team, did they?
Well, you know, at this point last year, you still saw a ton of potential. It was a team that was sitting at 9-1, and their one loss was over in Hawaii to Duke.
Yeah, but they were still trying to figure out the rotations, you know, the whole
deal. And Brown, it is a different makeup.
Boy, Okoro's playing so well for them.
And so is Austin Wiley.
I think I'm going to go Bruce Pearl, Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Could be this year.
I think I'll go Bruce Pearl to this just because you've got this year.
I mean, we're making a lot of judgments
on. Boy, if you had Auburn, who's only been in, what, 2 Elite Eights in the history of the basketball
program? Go back-to-back years, that'd
be
crazy.
Incredible.
But, you know, Lance, this seems like it's going to be a pretty darn wide open year. I mean, who's the best team in the country right now?
Well, going into this week, it was Louisville.
And they've already lost.
Yeah. And then I said 2 weeks ago, the best team I had seen up until this point was Maryland. They lost to Penn State.
Ohio State?
I told you, I thought Butler's really good. They just lost to Baylor.
No. So everybody loses.
Second down.
And a lot of people would say it is Ohio State. Back to a Super Bowl first. Would you go Andy Reid or Sean Payton?
I mean, again, it could be this year with Sean Payton. The NFC is really, really tough. They're probably the third best team in the NFC right now.
Could be this year with Andy Reid
in the AFC.
I think they're probably the third best team.
In the AFC? Yeah, so you got your third best on each side. Then I'll probably go Andy Reid. Guy's just consistently, he's consistently there. I mean, he's consistently right on the verge of going to the Super Bowl. He's only been once,
yeah,
right?
I could have easily flipped this if Sean Payton in New Orleans, they find a way to win that game this past weekend against San Francisco in the Superdome, because if they get home field throughout.
Yeah, that's huge.
And you feel like they're hosting another NFC championship game, they're going to find a way to get through that. Did you see how sensitive Sean Payton was, though?
I did not. What did he do?
So he went to Whole Foods, and he was going to get a steak, and he said the butcher asked him why he went for two so early in the game.
Right.
And he said, you know, you just need to take care of your freaking meat.
That's what he told him?
That's what he told him,
You
yeah.
stand back there and cut your meat.
Was it Mickey Rourke from Wrestler?
No, it was not. That was a messy scene.
Third down.
You think he spit on the steak?
Okay, so keep up with this one. Bigger number, Mike Norvell, his total wins in year one in Tallahassee, or the combination of SEC wins between Kiffin, Pittman, and Drinkwitz?
So I got total wins, though, for Florida State.
Yeah.
I need to look at their schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to just throw it out there that Florida State in year one is going to win 8 games. I'm going to put that number. I think they're
over. Have you looked at their schedule, or are you just saying?
I'm just guessing. Just based on the ACC, based on that offense, I'm going to say 8 seems like a really good number for me. I think Vegas probably lists this thing at like 7.5, maybe on the high end, 8.5. But I'm going to say 8 is the number. And when you look at 24 opportunities between those three.
You know they're at a conference is West Virginia in Atlanta, at Boise State in Florida. That's a pretty tough out of conference.
It really is.
I think you might want to dial that back.
Maybe.
I think I'll take the SEC combo based on that out of conference.
I wish Dunaway was here because I would play either side of this.
And they're going to play Clemson too. You know, they still got to play them. They also get Samford, by the way. That's one of the other guys. I think I'll go the SEC guys
based
on that. It's a tough schedule.
Okay, more wins in 2020. The combination of Joe Burrow and Tua, both guys that will be playing in the NFL, or Jake Fromm back at Georgia?
I think I'll go Joe Burrow and Tua. Tua's the tricky one because I know about his health.
Yeah, but I mean Burrow's going to be playing on the Bengals. I mean, you give me a win total next year for the Bengals with Joe Burrow, 4?
Yeah, and I mean, but Tua, see, he could fall in the draft a little bit and get a better team, but then he's not starting.
Yeah, I think worst-case scenario for Jake Fromm is 10 wins.
Yeah, I'll probably go Fromm. I think I go Fromm. Yeah. Yeah, if the problem is if Tua drops, he gets on a better team, but he also might not be starting. He might not even go to the pros, too. He may come back. I know Burrow's gone. All right, that's 4 downs.
Brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tire and Automotive, Gordondale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. Get set up this holiday season. Go to one of those locations or online, VulcanTireAndAuto.com. Is that the regular season game that you would go to right now?
No. Army-Navy?
Yeah.
No. Like, if I had a choice of any regular season game, I need to look at the schedule next year to see if, like, there's one I'm not thinking of.
Yeah, see, this might be for me just for this simple fact, because I think it is so symbolic. I think it's this big of a rivalry. I agree with you. I don't think it's the biggest in sport. But the great thing about this is there's nothing else going on.
That is true.
And it would
so
get
you
me,
would
it,
be missing games.
It would obviously get me out of a wedding based on my history.
I'm excited, Lance, about going to a wedding that involves 2 of our producers.
Well, I love Laurel and John, great people. And I will give them credit along with the other people in my past that have had weddings. At least they wait till the end of the season to actually have
correct.
Those
weddings. Yeah, I've got 2 weddings tomorrow, in fact. I'm going to 2 weddings tomorrow.
Because I think
Kevin and Sarah are also getting married, Rockstar.
Oh, congratulations, Kevin and Sarah. I guess if you push this back another week, if you do take in account for college football fanatics and degenerate gamblers, and you try to schedule avoid our Army-Navy, you're getting too close to Christmas, right?
When did the bowls start?
Next weekend.
Next weekend.
There you go. Well,
yeah, so you're right.
This is the sweet spot right here.
I would rather miss this than the bowls.
I mean, Rockstar, you're playing a rehearsal dinner tonight, right?
I am, for the lovely couple.
for the lovely couple.
Kevin and Sarah.
Not Kevin and Sarah?
Not Kevin
or
Sarah.
Or Lunsford and Laurel?
Laurel? Yes.
Oh, that's the one you're playing. You're doing Lunsford and Laurel's.
I am, yes.
Oh, how about that?
We'll get to follow on Instagram. I've got
a feeling. We'll know. have you got a big playlist picked out?
No, I'm just,
You're just winging it?
I'm dinner music, man.
Oh, so I'm just
what picking? Well, give me an example of dinner music.
Yeah. What do you do? God. Just pick the guitar?
Sometimes I'll pick, I played at a...
You just played Dave Matthews with no lyrics?
Yeah, no, I played at a former co-worker's rehearsal dinner.
Do we know him?
He was very loud, had a beard.
Oh, yeah.
I played at his rehearsal dinner, and they set me up, and I started playing, and you guys know I'm not loud. That's the one thing I'm not going to be an obnoxious player.
No, you know your role, yes, so to speak. Because
people aren't there to see me. They're there for rehearsal.
Yeah, Rockstar knows, like, if I'm a restaurant, I'm going to play a little bit low. People are trying to talk over dinner, right? If I'm at a company function, I'm just going to play just enough that I provide some background.
Why them. I enjoy going to watch Rockstar at different venues around, because he's not the guy that's going to turn
you're not the guy.
Don't like live music.
Yeah, typically. you're not the guy that's trying to get the people at the table to sing. All right, y'all sing this line. Yeah, you're not that guy.
So I'm playing at the cocktail hour first, and it's real low, and I'm just being real soft, like James Taylor soft. And
do you play any James Taylor?
I do play two or three songs, not Brown's Song.
Yeah, Sweet Baby James. He will not play that.
So a woman comes up to me and says, "We have an 85-year-old grandmother. You got to turn down." And I was like, "Okay." And I had my board. I had one speaker, so I'm half capacity. I turned my knob to half, not one, half.
Right. The next click is off, right?
I am so quiet anyway. And she comes up, "Sir, we cannot hear. You've got to turn down." And then the grooms comes up and says, "Hey, man, turn up." I go, "Well, we got a little problem here." Yeah. I'm getting mixed signals. And so once dinner starts, that's when I was gonna, I'm just going to finger pick. I'm not going to do any vocals. Right. I'm just going to play the guitar.
But aren't you under the assumption the 85-year-old can't hear you anyway?
Well, the 85-year-old never, you're going to the conclusion. You're
foreshadowing. Yeah, don't jump forward to the script.
So I get told by the brother that, "Hey, we're not going to have music during dinner." I go, "You're not going to have anything?" He's like, "Yeah, no, we don't want music for the dinner." I was like, "Okay, so you just hear forks and knives on the plates."
Yeah, and an uncomfortable conversation.
So I just go back and sit down on my phone and look and then come back. And then at the end of the night, I play a couple more. The 85-year-old grandmother played Stand By Me.
Right.
And she was all about it. All about
like
it.
Dancing?
So she had she was like listening and singing and stuff like that. And she wanted me to keep playing. I was like, "This is one of the most mixed emotion."
You found her wheelhouse, man.
Yeah.
So you don't expect that to happen tonight?
No, I expect to play at a rehearsal dinner if I'm hired to. We don't want you to play right here.
I would say outside of maybe the last weekend before football season starts, that this is going to be one of your busier wedding weekends of the year.
Yeah, I'm starting to learn that.
I mean, I think you'll get a lot.
You know, the problem is you risk a lot of rain this time of year.
You do. It's a crapshoot. I think tomorrow's going to be an all right day, but if you'd have missed by a day, look outside right now. Yeah,
I'm telling you, torrential downpour last year, the one I was at.
Marty says, "Rockstar, I dare you to play the pick three song at the rehearsal. There are a lot of jocks people there. They'll get it."
I got to remember the dang chords.
Pick three, pick.
Well, I know the music. I can remember the chords.
No, you could do that. You could do the Crane Works song.
Yeah,
lift it, load it, grade it, grind it.
Laurel and Lunsford are here to get married.
I'm still trying to figure out what I'll do with the beard.
Huh? I'll tell you in a minute. That's all I'm Hey, Tidwell on Twitter says, "To be honest about Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, you could put another good..."
Oh, I know now.
"You could put another good quarterback in that system and win with their strength of schedule. I think that's why people don't respect him." That is 100% true. You could have gone way down a quarterback talent list and found a quarterback that could go undefeated. Like, let's do that in the SEC.
Wait, what did they say? Is this about Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
No, the numbers wouldn't be the same.
No, it's not what he's saying. Okay. He's saying you could put a lot of quarterbacks in there and go undefeated. Okay. He's not saying you could have the same numbers.
Well, maybe. I mean, we only saw it for a second last year against Syracuse, and they were lucky to get out of there alive.
Like, do this with me. Let's do this exercise. In the Southeastern Conference quarterbacks, those are the ones we're most familiar with. I'll put all of them on Clemson's team, and you tell me. So let's just start in the West. Obviously, Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
easy.
No brainer.
Bo Nix, he's undefeated with that schedule.
Bo Nix is undefeated with the schedule.
Kellen Mond's undefeated with that schedule.
Kellen Mond is undefeated with that schedule.
I don't know about Garrett Schrader or Tommy Stevens.
They are not.
I'm telling you, I know this is gonna sell nuts, but John Rhys Plumlee, I think, is undefeated with that schedule.
I think he probably is. You're gonna have to throw the football sooner or later, though.
Arkansas didn't even know who their quarterback was, so we're certainly not going to try
that. You know, I mean, your tightest game was against Texas A&M.
I know.
I mean, there just wasn't – at North Carolina. Well, that's the one you got to look at. I mean, would these guys have won that game?
I don't know.
Rice Plumlee would not have.
Yeah. I mean,
neither quarterback for Mississippi State does.
Jake Fromm, he's undefeated with
Jake Fromm, yes.
I think Felipe Franks or Kyle Trask.
I would agree, yes.
Tennessee, I don't know about Jarrett Garrett. I don't know. Garrett Tano can play at times.
I'm just going to put it back when that game was taking place. Garrett Tano does not win that game.
I mean, Kentucky was starting a wide receiver at quarterback.
I mean, look, Lynn Bowden, I mean, he got the award. I forgot the exact award for the
most versatile player in America.
Yeah, and he is that guy. I don't know against that. In that North Carolina, that one-point win, I don't know if you get that win.
I mean, Ryan Helinski. If Kelly Bryant had never left the program, he's undefeated with that schedule.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think at least half the SEC quarterbacks. I mean, I think he's right in what he says. You're right, though. They would have put up the numbers. I'm not saying they would have.
Okay, but there's only two quarterbacks in the SEC that could actually beat Ohio State. And we're yet to see if Trevor Lawrence can even beat them.
That is 100% true. I think they will.
I think they will right now, at least that lean Clemson.
We bring in now our friend from ESPN, the great Tom Luganville.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, rental works, yeah, the big dog's got it.
ESPN's Tom Luganville on the Roundtable is brought to you by Crane Works. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. And now, Tom Luganville.
And Luke joins us each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. Tom Luganville, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are we doing today?
Doing great. Are you geared up? I don't know how many total bowl games you have. I saw the schedule come out. But bowl season's kind of weird. I guess it really gets you out of your normal routine, right?
Yeah, kind of screw. Well, the problem is you got signing day, then you go into Christmas, then I go into Under Armour mode, and then depending on where my bowl game is, I got to leave there, do that, then come back, do the Under Armour game, then we got the national championship, and in between there, I got to go up to Bristol this year. We're going to do a mega cast film room on one of the semifinal games and kind of break it down from a what these people do in scheme wise type of standpoint.
Wow. So that is a busy time. Before we get into the games with signing day coming up next week, a lot of the work is already done. I mean, most of these guys are already committed. They're probably going to sign where they're committed with maybe a very, very few exceptions. Is there a shocker that is still out there, or is there a big storyline that interests you heading in on somebody that is uncommitted right now?
Well, I don't even know if it's so much a shocker or a storyline as much as it is looking at the programs that have the most room to make the biggest moves leading up to Wednesday. A program like Georgia, Auburn's another one, LSU is another one. They're in some battles going deep leading into next Wednesday. Notre Dame's another one. Florida State's going to be interesting to watch. A program that hasn't signed a high school quarterback in two consecutive classes. Let that marinate for a minute. With Mike Norvell and his staff and what he's able to accomplish in a short period of time. So always tracking the new coaches, how much they can get done between now and next Wednesday, and then how that projects out in January when everybody else's hay, for the most part, is in the barn. But then you've got an opportunity in January, you know, if you're an Eli Drinkwitz, if you're a Mike Norvell, whoever it may be, to really know who everybody has, what your remaining needs are, and a much smaller player pool to have to deal with.
Luganville, I'm one of those guys that believes Clemson's the best team in college football. The fact is they haven't been challenged. I don't know whether or not they're going to win another national championship, but we had a caller ask us this question. It's really interesting. How many current SEC starting quarterbacks, if they would have taken Clemson over at the beginning of the year, would Clemson have gone undefeated with?
That is a pretty good question.
I mean, I'll just throw some out. I mean, Bo Nix, are they undefeated?
No.
Because of the North Carolina game? Is that the one that trips you up? I can't believe that's a question, but it is a question.
Yeah, it trips me up. I just think, so maybe that makes them, 12-1, what have you. You look at Tua, obviously, I think there's great opportunity there. Joe Burrow, absolutely. I don't know if I'd necessarily say they'd be undefeated with Jake Fromm because I think Jake Fromm needs a really strong running game and really good players around him, which obviously Clemson has, to be at his best. I want to go back to something you guys said, though, there about Clemson, which I thought was so interesting when everybody's talking about, okay, well, we know who the four are that are going in. The question is, who's number one? And then everybody would follow that up with, because we want to avoid playing Clemson in the semifinal. Well, doesn't that tell you who the number one team is?
You're right about that. Nobody wanted either that or how big a separation there is between three and four.
I mean, do you agree with that, though, Logan Bill? Do you believe Clemson's the best team right now?
I do. I had an opportunity to see him twice. Saw him back-to-back against LSU in back-to-back weeks. Listen, I think sometimes there are teams that are so talented, so deep, at all the right spots. And when I say that about Clemson, I'm including the defense. You can talk all you want about those guys that they lost. Nobody's paying attention to the guys that they got. I just think you kind of got to throw the schedule aside and say, hold on a second. When this team has played in big games, what have they done? Well, they're 10-1 against the SEC. They're 6-1 versus the SEC West. They've dominated quality opponents in the college football playoff. So I don't know what else we can do to gauge how good they are other than what they've done in the past, what they've done right now, and how they're built. They seem to be able to handle success really, really well.
ESPN's Tom Lugenbill is with us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. He joins us each week courtesy of our friends at Craneworks. Just look for that big dog down off the Red Mountain Expressway. I don't know what to make of this, but you're a coach's kid. You've coached yourself. The fact that all four of these guys that are in this playoff got their job because they were promoted from within their program seems pretty unique. Now, two were retiring coaches, two were fired coaches. But that's pretty unique that you see four guys that weren't a product of some big national search. They were all guys promoted from within coaching this game.
Yeah, I think it's neat because it's guys that had kind of earned their way. I mean, you look at Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley, I mean, I remember doing the Virginia Tech East Carolina game in Blacksburg. He's the offensive coordinator. And, you know, they beat Virginia Tech the week before. This was 2014. They beat Ohio State. But what's interesting is when you look at that offense under Lincoln Riley at East Carolina and subsequently before the other places he'd been, including Texas Tech, it's not even close to the offense that they are now. That guy has evolved. He has morphed and changed with the landscape. He has become an air raid guy that wants to run the football first. So Mike Leach has disowned him. I look at how these guys all come up, and it is pretty remarkable. I mean, look at the doubters with Ed Orgeron, and how is he going to do this? Ed Orgeron deserves credit for two things. Getting out of the freaking way and hiring good people and letting them do their job. Because what he's best at is rah-rah and recruiting. Let the other guys coach. You manage the program. You manage practice. You manage the infrastructure. And you go out and you get players. And he deserves a lot of credit.
How uncommon for a coach, though, I mean, and another coach on that staff that deserves credit is Steve Ensminger.
For
being able to park his ego and saying, yeah, look, I know technically the guy that's underneath him is going to get all the praise here.
He's the unsung hero of the entire thing. And I asked him about it point blank when we had him. I said, when you were approached by coach about this, obviously you've coached for almost 40 years. You've been at a lot of places, been very successful. You know, what was your initial reaction? He said, bring it on. He goes, I don't care. We'll do it together. We'll figure it out together. And if it makes us better, it makes us better. He's the guy that deserves maybe more credit than anybody else.
Three of these four quarterbacks transfer quarterbacks. I know this is going nowhere, Tom. I mean, this is the new college football.
Well, here's the goal when you're recruiting the quarterbacks out of the high school ranks. Get as many good ones as you can. Worry about what happens later. You know you're going to lose one. You might lose two. I mean, you look at Herm Edwards right now. Herm Edwards at Arizona State, they're recruiting like heck. They signed two freshman quarterbacks a year ago. They're both 1-2 on the depth chart. The other kid, Joey Yellen, comes in and plays against USC, plays the tail off. But he's got a true freshman in the same class in front of him. At some point or another, something's going to happen. But it's really what you do in the short term of the recruitment of it so that you put yourself in a position to have those choices. to sit there and say, okay, who's our best guy? Who's going to beat out so-and-so and create competition in the room? I think that's the most important thing. You know you're going to lose somebody, but prepare yourself to have to make that tough choice.
I know this Ryan Day offense was perfect for Justin Fields to thrive, yeah. But in retrospect, do you think if Kirby could go back and reevaluate, do you think Fields would be the guy at Georgia?
I think the timing of it made it impossible. Put it this way. If Jake Fromm had stepped in and struggled and it wasn't going well and they weren't moving the football, and let's just say the moment or the game was too big for him, that's an entirely different conversation. I think the timing played out so poorly for Kirby Smart in that. And listen, if you're Justin Fields and you're probably going in there thinking, okay, this is an open competition. I'm going to have a chance to beat him out. And you know what? The coaches probably said, we're going to play the best guy, and weren't lying to the kid when they said it, but maybe didn't anticipate that Jake Fromm was going to develop and rise as fast as he did. And maybe Justin Fields wasn't quite ready to take that next step. And I don't know if the offensive game plan at Georgia is something that was really beneficial to Justin Fields. I think the one thing Ryan Day has done, and Ryan Day loves a mobile quarterback, but he has built that offense around the strengths of the quarterback with really good players around him.
One of the matchups a lot of people talk about, Lugs, in this playoff is when we get to see Stingley versus CeeDee Lamb. And look, CeeDee Lamb's a tremendous receiver, and I know he's going against good DBs. Stingley's seen some pretty good receivers in the SEC and Duvernay at Texas when he's going head-to-head with those guys. Do you look forward to that matchup? Is there an advantage in that matchup?
Well, it's interesting because CeeDee Lamb's one of those rare, big, tall, long receivers that moves like he's Jaylen Waddle. You know, he's just so fluid and explosive. And oftentimes you find big guys that are 50-50 ball guys, they're running catch guys, but they don't offer the after-the-catch stuff that CeeDee Lamb does. So I don't even know if it's so much of a coverage matchup. I think it's an open field tackling matchup, yeah. where LSU has to contend with a guy. But here's the difference, and I truly believe this. Aside from, let's just say, Alabama and Clemson, who are very similar to LSU when it comes to the 3 to 4 to 5 wideouts that they can put on the field at the same time, I don't think Oklahoma's that deep. I think there's a much bigger drop-off between CeeDee Lamb and their other targets. And their other targets are good players. Jadon Hazelwood's going to be a star. He's a true freshman. They've got a couple inside slot guys. But they don't take the field and have a Justin Jefferson, Terrace Marshall, Jamar Chase, or a Devontae Smith and a Jerry Jeudy and a Henry Ruggs. It's not as equal across the board. And if that allows LSU to maybe really focus on making Jalen Hurts go in another direction because you take away CeeDee Lamb, I think that benefits LSU.
Would you like to do a movie review? I don't know if you've seen anything. Maybe The Irishman? We've all seen it.
Oh, did you like it? I loved it.
Oh, yeah, we thought it was great.
I think it's Joe Pesci's best work. Would you agree with that?
Well, what's so amazing about it is it's such an understated Joe Pesci.
Yeah, really good, though.
Different. Yeah, really, really good. You know the one I want to see, and I'm getting this, guys, this is the first weekend. I haven't. My wife was wondering why I was here yesterday. and so I'm around. I'm going to take my son to the North Carolina State High School Playoff Championships tomorrow in Raleigh. But I have some afternoon clearing tonight. And this afternoon, I'm thinking about maybe seeing Richard Jewell.
Yeah, that's what I want to see, too.
Because, I mean,
it's a great story, Logan Bill. And it's awesome. Amazing. I brought up Richard Jewell on the show, and it's amazing how many people don't know who Richard Jewell is.
You know what's unbelievable? There's more people that are going to know who Harvey Updike is than Richard Jewell.
Oh, jeez. That's terrible.
Oh, in our audience, there's that. No doubt.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Think about
are you bothered by this? The AJC is really upset that they made this reporter out to have an affair to get information, yeah. And they say there's no evidence. Does that bother you at all?
No, it doesn't bother me because I'm going to the movie for entertainment. I want to be entertained. I don't get into all the political crap with the movie. I mean, it's like.
Well, it is unfair to her, though. I mean, there's no evidence that she did this.
Well,
lots of things are unfair in life, Brownie.
That's true. Tell Richard Jewell about fair. Well, he's been dead and gone a while.
And the AJC had a good point on this. They're like, you know, Clint Eastwood's making this movie because this guy got falsely accused. Well, you're doing the same exact thing to this reporter. That's a good point.
Well, That is awesome. It's a great point. I just want to be entertained by whether or not it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Clint Eastwood makes good movies, I will say that.
Well, then next week you can break that one down for us. So.
All right, I'll do that. Anything else? Well, next week, we got to figure out next week because I gotta check my schedule to see how we make this thing work.
I have full confidence in you. We'll find a way to make it work.
All right.
It's 75 on Rotten Tomatoes right now for Richard Jewell. So not bad.
What is it?
75.
75, okay.
Yeah, all it's right. Okay.
Right, I see. Hey, when's the quitter coming back to the job?
Oh, well, we're all burning up vacation. You know, we get all this vacation, we never use it. You know us. We're just workers.
All right, boys.
All right, Luke, have a great... Oh, wait, you got to do the business here. ESPN's Tom Lugabill joins us each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline, and he does so courtesy of our friends at Craneworks.
Leave a comment or like us on Facebook at WGOX 94.5.